Hello and welcome to the Basement Shuffle. With me as always, well, my name is Kevin, and with me as always, Andy Dorsey.
Hello. Welcome
back. We missed you last show, dude.
Yes, that was unfortunate, and I do apologize to our listeners.
Oh, man.
And to you, Kevin.
Thank you, brother. And tonight we're joined by our man in Portland, Mark Raymond.
Woo!
Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Greetings from sunny Portland.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. You guys are having a rare warm day.
Rare sunny day, I should say.
Okay. Right on. You're not wearing your cutoff shorts today?
I'm not wearing anything, actually, so.
Oh, nice. But you told me you were at the bus station.
Exactly. That's how we do it out here.
Oh, okay. So, if you don't know,
now
Mark,
you know.
Yeah, now you know. Mark is a good friend of ours. We played music together. I've been in bands with Mark. Excuse me. We were in a band called we were in a band called Philo Beto. And other such projects. And yeah, phenomenal drummer. Self-taught and a very original style.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, man. Oh, you know what? I was hanging out with some friends last night. I was hanging out with my friend Brian Beebe, and he mentioned that you bought your first drum set off of the drummer in Funkadelic, or what was it?
EU.
EU, yes. Tell me that story.
So I worked at this automotive paint delivery company throughout like the DC area. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I can't even remember his name right now. I think it was Dwayne. Started working there and, you know, started talking to me a little bit older than I was. I was like 19, something like that, maybe younger. And he told me that he's the first drummer for EU. That's sort of like, he didn't sell me a drum kit. He sold me a broken ride and a set of hi-hats.
Oh, nice.
But it was more than I ever had. So it was funny. Like, I didn't have enough for a crash yet, and I didn't quite understand the concept of the hi-hats, like having two.
Yeah.
So I basically took the bottom one, flipped it over, made a cymbal stand out of wood and all thread. And then, so I gave myself a crash at the bottom of the hi-hat. So I would just tap on the top of the other hi-hat as my timekeeper.
Wow.
Now, can I ask, Mark, yeah. Now, was this prior to your first band, or was this, had you already played in a band and you just ended up?
It was prior and into it, I think. I started playing with, well, kind of tell you a story of how I even started playing drums. I was hanging with three friends of mine. We all kind of played guitar a little bit. I was probably the weaker of the guitar players, but I was a hell of an air drummer. So we decided we wanted to start a band. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the one guy that couldn't play anything at all, we gave him the bass. Sorry, Andy. And because I was the best air drummer, I got drums, and a friend of ours had an old kit as a kid. It looked like Odell's Blue Sparkle, but it was definitely cheaper and smaller. But we found that in a attic in Nanjimoy, and that was my first drum set.
Wow.
Nice.
That's awesome, man.
That band was later formed, and they were called The Police.
Oh, shit. What were they called, Mark?
So my first one that actually with one of the original guys, we became Stolen Invitation.
Stolen Invitation.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is there a story behind that?
You mean the name?
Yeah.
I don't know. We might have got lost in the mail. I don't remember.
I think Stone Invitation would have been better.
Stone Invitation? Why? What is that?
Stone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Like getting stoned.
Oh, Stoned Invitation? Like, hey, man, you want to come back and smoke a bowl, dude?
Stone Invitation.
All right. I'll be in that band.
Right on.
Not that I smoke weed, but...
this is a family-friendly show, so...
Yeah, my mom might be listening. So cool, man. Did you recognize that song, Mark?
No, because it was... I did the beginning, but it turned into like an 8-bit mashup where I couldn't hear what was going on after a while. But it was Rush at the beginning, but did it stay Rush?
No. Oh, that sucks, man. You can't hear the music?
I heard the riff from Rush, and then it turned out the drums changed. That's all I could really hear, but it was like garbled 8-bit.
Oh.
Primus.
Yeah, it's Primus. John the Fisherman.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, there are definitely big Rush fans. You can tell.
Well, they ripped Rush off on that song. So.
Well, I think that was, I mean, that's
or,
probably.
Or they paid homage to Rush.
Yeah, I would say that okay. More than rip off. That's probably how they would, like, intro their shows. Like, that's a great fucking intro, that riff. What is that, YYZ?
Oh, so that was actually Primus playing that. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was so garbled.
That is YYZ, off of Moving Pictures.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right on. Mark's a Rush fan.
Which also has Tom Sawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a Rush t-shirt in high school. That's how cool I was.
Nice.
Presto?
Yeah, exactly. Probably the shittiest album I thought, but hey, that's the only Rush t-shirt I could find.
That's the last album I bought by them.
Did you get it from a show? Did you go to that show?
No, I never saw them live, no.
Oh, bummer. Me neither. Me neither. I know Danny Albin has, but I have not been lucky enough to see him. And I guess I won't ever now.
I guess not.
Which is sad.
It's too late.
Hello. I'll grab it real quick.
Okay, sorry. Yep, sorry.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. We'll be right back. Did you pause it?
Did it work?
I'll edit it out.
Oh, no. Sorry, I'm on the phone here.
What are you going through the drive-thru, Mark?
Mark. Raymond. Yep. No, I signed for a case of wine that I got delivered. Sweet.
Oh, nice. Are you doing naked wines?
No, it's some other one.
Oh. Yeah, we did that here at the house. We were getting cases upon cases because Mariana signed up. She signed her mother up, and Darren signed up. So we were getting, like, 3 cases of wine, like, each month. And we had a good time. But I'm a little bit wined out.
All right, thanks a lot.
But, yeah, we might edit that out.
Or we could leave it in and have fun with it.
Yeah,
because it's live, people.
Yeah, absolutely, all the way live. Are you back with us, Mark? Are you still dealing with the delivery guy? Hello. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
All right. We're gonna pause for a short break.
You know, when something feels right, you go with it. It's something to believe in. That's how I feel about you. Feeling says love. Created with fine jewelry from Service Merchandise, America's leading jeweler.
All right, so we're back after a little bit of technical difficulties and
chaos.
Yeah, we're gonna start. Well, this is gonna be our second song. We're gonna do a song by our guest, and it's gonna be this.
Sunday. Darker love.
All right. That was Sea Clamp with Land Meets Sea. And, yeah, I've never heard them before.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm surprised. Well, I'm not too surprised. They're very not well known. Definitely something that would be up your alley, musically.
Yeah, it reminds me of stuff that I probably would have listened to.
Band sounded so familiar, but I could not place them.
Yeah, right? It's got a certain sound.
So they're American. Can you guess which region they are from?
Chicago. Yeah, could you go get the dog, Andy? Thank you very much. He's whining at the door.
And, not quite Chicago, but they're from the Midwest. I want to say Indiana or Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe even Chicago. I'm not sure. But I know they were on that label, Ohio Gold.
I've never heard of that label.
Yeah, that's a tiny little label. I think their symbol was AU for, I think that's the gold.
The element of gold?
Yeah, yeah.
Right on. Like Andy said, it's got a very familiar sound that I just can't place right now. They sound like somebody. It's definitely got that Midwest sound. Should I say Shiner or more? It's a lot less rockin' than Shiner.
Yeah, it's more of the jazz kick. But
Shipping
his voice is sort of, his voice is very monotone, but you know he has a small range, but he does it well. My goodness, it's more just like the sparseness of the range. I think they're just a three piece. So maybe like a karate kind of thing, but
okay,
feeling away, but not quite as jazzy as karate.
Okay, karate. That's a band I remember. Wah, karate. Was that the guitar player that joined Justifier?
No, no.
What am I thinking?
Karate was from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking of. Was it High on Fire? No, no, no. Something.
No,
no, not that.
Kerosene 454? No.
No, they're from Maryland.
All my bands are getting...
Yeah, they are.
I can't come to it right now, but I swear I've heard that singer before.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark, do you happen to have his name by any chance?
I don't.
I'm gonna find out. And I swear, I'm going to pick a song that's going to sound exactly like that singer. Man, I know I've heard his voice before.
I'm going to keep on you about that, because I want to know.
Keep on, keep it on.
Is there anybody...
Great song, by the way, Mark.
Yeah, is there anybody of note in that band that I would know of?
I don't know any other names, so probably not.
Just
Do you have the year that that title came out, that track came out?
I want to say late 90s, so I think.
Oh, wow.
How I found them. Do you guys remember that website? I think it was Epitonic.
No.
So it was an early math rock type website where you can, they would just stream songs. And I remember I worked at this one place that had a, fast enough internet connection. Because at home I was dialed and I couldn't stream anything. So I remember going into work early before he was there so I could get on the computer and like find new music, by streaming the site. So I think I found them through that.
That's cool. Yeah, that I miss those days of just finding cool websites. And there was one that I remember. There was one that I used to follow. Brainwashed was a cool one. That mainly dealt with like very obscure sort of industrial. They would talk about like Nurse with Wound and Throbbing Gristle, but they'd also like talk about people like Richard Young's and just obscure shit. And they had samples that you could listen to too. And the other one that I liked was Aquarius Records, that I think was based in San Francisco,
Oakland. The drummer from A Minor Forest is affiliated with them. I don't know if you remember that band.
I know the name, but that's cool.
Yeah. He was that band the drummer would play backwards live, but they were a three-piece band, and they'd all be in a row in front of the stage, but the drummer would be playing backwards.
What do you mean backwards? Like not facing the audience?
Yeah, facing the back.
Weird.
Yeah, that was their thing.
Did that sound weird?
You know what? I never saw them live because they actually reformed and they came to Florida like 5 or 6 years ago. I didn't end up going, I should have, but so I never saw them live, but like recording, it didn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
I think Albini did a record for them, and I think Bob Weston did another one.
Well, I've never heard of that, a drummer facing backwards. Maybe he was just shy. He had terrible stage fright.
Maybe. But he was a beast on the drum, so it didn't really matter.
Awesome. What was that band again? A Minor Forest?
A Minor Forest.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, you guys seem to have done your homework on this, because I've never even heard of it. What was it called? Aquarius?
Aquarius Records. I don't know if they're still around or not.
Right.
I still get the email, so they're still around.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yeah, well,
that's impressive.
This was in the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, that's like when I've discovered, like, the internet.
Streaming.
And, like, well, yeah. But it was like Mark said, we're working off of, like, dial-up, like, at my mom's house. But I am starting to figure out what the internet could be useful for, which is, like, finding, you know, interesting music that I've never heard of, and
which is where I am today.
You're kind of a late bloomer, yeah.
Late bloomer.
Andy, you have dial up still?
I wouldn't surprise me.
A computer.
I heard a computer can do my job better than I can damn do it.
Speaking of dial-up, do you guys remember when you would call the 930 number, they would play a song of
I do remember
playing?
That. Yes, I totally remember
that. Awesome.
Yeah. Like if they had a band that was up and coming, they would there'd be like 6 to 8 different tracks or whatnot. And you only get like about a minute and a half of a song or something. But yeah, I remember that.
I was like dial-a-tune.
And I did it.
Awesome. Well, cool, man. Let's do an Andy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Children of the Sea by Black Sabbath.
That's me.
Go right ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, I picked that song because the topic, by the way, is sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our podcast is for today.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah.
that's
fine.
My connection to last song.
Well, they'll read it when they see the episode.
Yeah. And so that Black Sabbath album was the first one that had Ronnie James Dio on it.
Right.
Oh, that's what, okay. Like I was hearing the 8-bit version of it, and I was like, that sounds like Dio.
Yeah.
That.
And that's the one with the cigarette, with the angel smoking the cigarettes. Heaven and Hell was the album released in 1981.
Right on.
So.
At first, I thought that it had Steve Dennis over. I was like, damn, that sounds like Steve Dennis.
Yeah. Dude, Steve Dennis does a Ronnie James Dio like no one's business, man. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And they're the same height. Just a little less hair.
Right. For those who don't know, Stevie D was on the Satan episode.
That's right. Yeah, the Satan one.
That was a good one. That was a lot of fun.
That was not fun, man. That was painful.
There's too much Satan for Dorsey.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I'm not. I was more of an Aussie guy, and I'm more of a fan of the classic, what, like six albums, the first ones, like before Technical Ecstasy.
Oh, I had a weird obsession with their first album.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I just thought that cover was just insane, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can't remember the model's name, but the photographer, his name was Keith, and I don't remember his last name. Mm. But there's an homage.
Hey, Andy, you were like 30 when that came out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an homage. There's an homage to his name on the album that a lot of people sleep on. It just says K-E-E-F. Now, that's not how he.
Keith, yeah.
Right. And so I was reading about the album, and I just, it doesn't have their best music, but it was just a weird obsession that I had with that album.
I still don't understand your weird obsession.
It just haunted me.
Okay.
The album was just.
But
just,
refresh, can we go back? You said something about the photographer, and
there's. Well, the photograph on the album.
Yeah, spooky.
Yeah. And that, the model, by the way, they. People didn't know what her name was,
yeah,
who she was, for years, because of some disclosure thing. But anyway, it finally came out. I cannot remember her name, but she's actually quite attractive. Or she was quite attractive back in 1969, was it? Yeah, when that album came out. And but it's just a horrible image that just.
It really freaked you out.
You got to remember, I was really young when first saw this.
Yeah,
album.
30 years old. I mean,
there's a.
He was a late bloomer.
There's a spoof that they do on Family Guy where Stewie sees the album from Queen.
Yes.
And he freaks out.
Yes, News of the World.
Yes.
Yep.
With the robot and whatnot, and he's killing the people, and he's like, my God, man! Sure. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can relate. Yeah, I mean.
That album just haunted me.
My brother gave me his Kiss records when I was like 3, maybe. And that was freaky.
Yeah.
Seeing all the blood with like Gene Simmons and shit like
Same
that.
Same thing.
And yeah, it scared me. And I think that's why I like him still. It really made an impression on me.
Geezer Butler.
You like Kiss?
Yeah, I'll admit it. I'm sure I've admitted it on this podcast before, dude. I'll be a Kiss fan for life. I know it's dumb. I know it's dumb rock and roll, but it's still fun to me. Damn it.
Okay. If it's fun for you, I'm not going to take away your fun.
Thank you. But next time we hang, I'm definitely playing you some Kiss.
What else would you listen to in 1975?
I don't know.
If it's going to be hard rock, there's very little to choose from. So,
No, I don't think so, man. The 70s were a heyday for rock and roll.
1975, disco was everywhere.
Well, there was a lot of rock bands that were just more on the underground. Like, you can find stuff now, like bands you never heard of. I'm like, oh, shit, they were playing this then?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But who knew? Because back in the day, if it didn't get radio air, there was no internet back then.
Right. So you had to be real cool to find out obscure
shit. Real cool. You had to own a record store, basically.
Or go to one.
I was definitely not going to record stores in 1975.
Where were you in 1975? Like, were you in Waldorf? Where were you?
Yeah, yeah. We had moved to Waldorf in, actually, I think we moved here in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was
fresh. That's where I was
born. There you go. And I was 7 or 8. I don't know.
Something. Andy could have been your babysitter.
Don't bloody lock me.
I would have turned out a lot cooler if that was me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I'd have changed his diapers and be like, boy, you're going to use this tool right one day.
What the fuck? You're crazy as shit, man. All right, let's go to another song. Here we go.
Hey, Andy, just don't go for my VHS player, all right? Do you remember that one?
Yes, sir.
Should we not talk about that on the podcast or what?
Well, let's leave it at that. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. I think I can draw my own conclusions.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that. That's an inside joke.
I have often said that I would like to be dead in shark's mouth. And woman swimming under, her warm breath sending a thunder on two parts south. And love is stripped and frayed, duty is delayed until next life. Someone has my mind, holding it so kind. It is my wife. And my home is the sea. Disaster flies upon me, and I scream. We can see the house lights colored from a distance, or a party is a dream. I tumble into me, my arms enfold.
Yeah, Super Wolf with My Home is the Sea.
Is that yours, Kevin?
Of course it is.
Is that why you played the whole song that's yours and you cut off Andy?
Hey.
That's what he does.
Yeah, this is... listen, I played... I try to play like a minute of the song, and then if it's not like a natural stopping time... then I might let it go a little longer. Okay, it's not that it's my song. Did it bore you? I'm sorry, guys.
No, that sounds all right.
That's great.
Yeah.
Whatever. You guys hated it.
I never heard it.
I never heard it either.
Right on. Well,
But that's the perfect song for a podcast of this nature. You know, I picked pretty much hits except for my second song. Mm. So, you know... you guys are going to be, well, I thought you would be familiar with the first one, but the second one you definitely will not be so familiar with.
Okay.
Third one, yeah, that's kind of, it was a hit. So.
Yeah, that's what I like about this show is that we kind of try to turn each other on to
we
shit
dig
that
into
we've
the,
never
in,
heard.
Into the cracks and crevices to find that one little gem that, like, this is a great song. Mm. Y'all probably haven't heard this. You may have heard of this group, but you didn't hear this song.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we do on here.
Mm-hmm. Deep cuts.
Yeah, the deep cuts. So that Super Wolf is Will Oldham, a.k.a. Bonnie Prince Billy, a.k.a. Palace Music, a.k.a. whatever. He's got a bunch of fucking different names.
Lucius Lipschitz.
One of those guys that kind of hides from their audience. Just, I don't know why people do that. Like, they give themselves, they release shit on different names, and they kind of make their fans work to follow their catalog. But it's him and the guitarist singer from Chavez, Matt Sweeney, got together and did that album. And as a matter of fact, I believe they just released their second album this week that I need to check out. But I really like this album.
So this is a new group then?
This album came out in like 2005, I believe. Yeah.
So they're just taking their time in between albums.
Yeah, well, they both kind of do projects on their own, and this was a popular one, and they were like, people wanted them to do it again, and I guess because of COVID, they had the time to do it. And, yeah, I'll have to check it out and see if it's as good as this. But, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's not that exciting. It's just folk music with, like, a heavy guitar behind it. Sounds like it was recorded in somebody's house or something. It's just very laid back. I like it, man. But my home is the sea, and that's what made me think of this topic.
Nice. I like it.
Let's go to Marcus's next one, and it's called Escort. Yeah, the Sea and Cake with Escort.
Exactly.
That's a band that I should listen to more of.
Reminds me of that Blacktop thing that I played for you that one time.
Yeah, which involves Ray Barbie or Chuck Treese?
Both.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them are in it.
Right on. Yeah, it does kind of have that sound.
Yeah, I like that, Mark. That was really cool.
The best part, I think, of that song is towards the outro. They kind of have these crescendos, and, you know, you can listen to it later, whatever. But it kind of it's very brooding at the beginning, kind of the same thing. It just builds up to just this release of these crescendos on the outro. That recommend that if you listen back to the song.
Oh, awesome. There's not a track on here that ever, when we do these podcasts, that I don't go back and check out.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out, dude. That sounded awesome.
Cool. Yeah, and maybe I'll edit that back in, the outro to that song. But yeah, dude, Sea and Cake, they are part of a, that's definitely Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's, they're part of that sort of incestuous scene that I'm a big fan of. Tortoise, who else? Fucking 11th Dream Day, which you know of,
yeah,
Andy.
I remember them, yeah.
Yeah, man. Jeff Parker.
Was it 11th Day Dream?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Sam Prepkoff is the main guy in C&K. He's been in others. Gaster Del Sol, I want to say.
Gaster Del Sol? No, that was not him. That was David Grubbs and Jim O'Rourke.
That's who that was. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he was in something else. I can't remember what it was.
Hmm.
But he's, yeah, there's also vocals in the Sea and Cake, and he usually takes care of that. And they're very, very cool. Very laid back, sort of jazzy. Very, very much fits that style of music.
Yeah.
I think we saw, did you see him with me, Mark?
Where at?
Black Cat.
Maybe. I don't recall offhand, but possibly.
Yeah, that was a good show, man. I remember you played a Dan Electro guitar, like one of them old ones. Or it might have been, there's a guy in Chicago that builds specimen instruments. There's a guy that makes replicas of Dan Electro guitars. I bet that's what it was.
I still have my Dan Electro bass.
Do you?
Yeah.
You should bring it over, man. I'd love to play it.
It's something's messed up with the tuning peg.
Well, then bring it over and I'll fix it.
I said that to you like 4 years ago.
And you never and you never brought it over.
I did bring it over. You said, well, you need to replace this. And I was like, yeah.
Well, I might have the means to replace it now. So bring it back, brother.
All right, we'll see.
Bring it back.
That was a side note.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Good pick. Very good. Yeah. So we should play another Andy, and let's play. It's one of your difficult ones that I have to look up on YouTube, and it's. No. Because.
Sorry, folks. We're doing some inside stuff here.
Yeah. No. All right. Fine. Andy wants to take a break. So we'll be back right after this. You want me to fast forward it 2 minutes, or you want me to play it for 2 minutes? Okay. God damn. See, Mark? He makes me play shit for like fucking 2 minutes.
Intro. That's why.
When this high
and stormy tonight. We can feel its magical light as the sea comes speaking to me. Siren voices drift out of key. Wind and sea mix thoughts in my brain. Never know if love will remain. Like a wave gone over my head. Don't know how your eyes ought to be red. Skies are filled with secret delight. Midnight rain, illusion and lights.
Right on. Rare Silk.
Rare
with,
Silk.
With Storm. Right on. That's very chill.
Wanted to play something that, you know, you guys definitely probably haven't heard. So that was
yeah. Never heard that. Sounded cool though.
I like them.
Yeah. Does it get more? I mean, I don't want to say that. Does it get a little more complex as the song goes on?
No, it's just a very chill song, and it reminds me of being on the beach or being adrift and just listening to the waves crash and whatnot. And there is a saxophone solo in that song.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to get to. And it comes in unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of loud and crashing, but it goes along with the music. And it's just the effect. I don't even know who the saxophone player is, but it breaks up the monotony of the waviness of that song.
Okay, cool.
But it's chill, and I like it. And most Rare Silk songs are not that laid back.
Oh yeah,
they're more uppity, you know.
Oh, what how could you describe, like, are they like anybody else, like Weather Report or?
I hate to say it. It's the group that you hate.
Okay.
Manhattan Transfer.
Okay. I was getting that vibe, the vocalese vibe from that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like that kind of style of music.
Mm-hmm.
They're not specifically as jazzy as the Manhattan Transfer, but they have, like, you know, three-part harmonies and whatnot. At one time, they had four-part harmonies. It's comprised of two sisters, and I cannot think of their names right now, which I should, and one guy.
Okay.
So they were a three-piece at one time, but then they became a four-piece.
Cool.
So.
And then they just had, like, studio musicians doing the music?
Or? Absolutely.
Okay, right on.
Yeah.
That was cool, dude.
Right.
Yeah, I would definitely jam to that. More than I would jam to Manhattan Transfer. Manhattan Transfer just sounds so
generic.
White, for lack of a better word. They just sound very
generic.
Yeah, just vanilla. Yeah. But this has.
I think you've heard the wrong songs then.
All right. I'd love you to give me.
All right. I'm going to hook you up. I'm on.
Make me a mixtape, man. Yeah, Rare Silk with the storm, or with just the title is Storm.
Storm.
Reminded me of Quiet Storm that you'll hear on, you know, a certain station late at night or something like that. Right on, man. Cool.
Quiet Before the Storm?
Yeah. So I'm going to jump in with another one of mine because I want to end the show with an Andy song. So this is a throwback to the Chicago scene that CN Cake came from. And Mark actually mentioned a band, Gaster Del Sol, that featured, that was comprised of this guy, Jim O'Rourke, and a guy named David Grubbs, and they were very, very good band. But anyway, this is Jim O'Rourke on his own, and this is called Ghost Ship in a Storm. Yeah. Jim O'Rourke.
Dude, that's pretty much jazz also.
Yeah? You like that?
Yeah. I mean, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Kevin.
No, right on, dude. Yeah, very jazzy. He's an interesting cat, Jim O'Rourke. Out of the Chicago scene, has done a lot of different projects. Gaster Del Sol, for one. And he kind of, he's very much an avant-garde, like, electronic artist. Like, he'll do, like, weird fucking shit just from, like, a laptop or something like that that doesn't have vocals or instruments on it. It's just sort of odd.
And, do you remember when he played with Sonic Youth?
Yes. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. He's got his... He dips his feet into all kinds of shit. So he was a member of Sonic Youth. He played bass for them, I believe.
I actually saw them, sorry to cut you off, down in North Carolina in Chapel Hill one weekend in a record store. And it was like people were talking about some secret Sonic Youth show at the Cat's Cradle, which is like a Black Hat style, you know, size venue.
Right on.
And sure enough, they played as a full band, and then each member had their own solo set.
Oh, no shit.
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah. That'd be cool.
God, that sounds like a long night.
Yeah. It was, you know, no openers. I was like, you know, three rows back standing just watching them. You know, like I said, it was a secret show, so got lucky.
So, I mean, were they just like short sets that they did?
Yeah. They didn't play a full, like, you know, as a full band set. They did, you know, some of the hits, and then they went into the solo sets. It's probably about 15, 20 minutes long.
Wow. That sounds amazing. Like every member, like Steve Shelley did a set by himself?
Yep.
No shit. What was his set like?
Lee Ronaldo?
Yeah, definitely Lee. I don't remember like their actual, I mean, this was late 90s. I don't remember what each of them did, but it wasn't drums. I know he wasn't playing drums. He was doing some other drummy stuff, I think.
Was he by himself or did he have people with him?
They all played, I mean, they all, but I remember they all stayed on the stage, but they just each were doing their own little things.
So they would, like, back up whoever was the front man at that time?
No, there was no one else playing with them. They were, like I said, solo. So they were just hanging out, yeah.
Wow, man. I know that Steve Shelley had a band called, like, $2 Trombone or something like that. And I know that he's a country fan. He, like, reissues, like, towns. Yeah. Well, not like bluegrass, but like
it's
he
all
like
square dance.
He's very. He played with like
across the floor.
Towns Van Zandt and stuff like that. But anyway, very cool, dude. I'm glad. Wow,
that sounds like a killer show, dude.
Yeah, I wish I was at that show. So I'm imagining the Jim did like a computer set, like ambient noise kind of shit.
It was. I don't remember a computer, but so what I'm remembering is I was on the side close to him, and he was just basically playing stuff on the floor, like pedals and just other, you know, maybe samplers at the time. I don't really
tape
remember,
loops or something. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just doing strange, like he was doing with the band anyway. He was not playing bass when I saw him. He was just doing kind of like what Bob Weston does with Mission of Burma. You know, he plays tape loops, you know, kind of just added. He wasn't playing.
I remember
actual...
that group.
Mission of
Burma. Yeah, they're badass as well.
Right on. Awesome, man.
What about Kim Gordon?
She was playing bass.
The whole time?
Like, I don't remember her solo set per se, but like when they were playing as a band, it was basically, you know, Sonic Youth just having Jim O'Rourke doing extra noises, basically what he was doing on that.
Dude,
on that show.
That show must have been awesome.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, so yeah. So he'll do like weird fucking tape loop shit and stuff that, you know, people probably don't understand. But then he'll come out with like a pop album like this every once in a while. And it's just the most perfect pop album you've ever fucking heard. And so he'll go through like... a jazzy song like that, or like just a classic rock sounding song, but it'll have like sarcastic lyrics, like you would. They're like shit that like Steely Dan would write or something like that.
I would probably like that.
I think you would. I'll let you hear some. But he's also, people would probably know him from producing Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, the Wilco album, and Wilco stole his drummer from this album, Glenn Kotchke. I think is how you say it.
Kotchke.
All right.
Something like that.
And so they took his drummer, and that's how I first heard Glenn Kotchke, is from Jim O'Rourke, and I was just floored, man. He's a great inventive drummer, very cool. Have you ever seen him live, Mark?
I have not.
All right. Well, hopefully we can see them sometime in the future.
Dude, when they bring shows back. It's on.
Right on. All right, let's do another Mark. Here we go.
Rosetta. Sweet Rosetta fat. She thought she was a cleaner. But she was a frying pan. Yeah, the picture. The picker. The picture of the fingers going. Okay.
Who was that?
Who was that?
Yeah.
That is the Beatles.
Oh, no shit. I've heard of them.
Have you heard of them?
The Beatles?
Are you asking the question, Beatles and the Stones?
Oh, I already know the answer to that.
The Beatles?
I already know that you're not a fan of the Stones, brother.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you and Danny Albin can hang out.
I don't know why.
Oh, Albin's in my same camp, huh?
Yeah, he doesn't like the Stones. Awesome. You guys can hang out and have a good time.
Guy. Yeah, you guys can not like the Stones and be wrong about it.
Yeah, just. You know, yeah. So, let me ask you, why did you pick that for the topic of C?
So when you told me about the topic was going to be, I was like, oh, you know, the two that I picked earlier have either the word C in the name of the band or the song. Mm. I didn't want all of them to be that straightforward. So I started thinking, I was like, C, what reminds me of a C? As a kid, my dad had a boat that we had. He would leave it at his friend's house who lived on the Patuxent River. And so Sundays he would go boating. And so my dad's friend had a son named Joe. And so this song would come on the radio while we were boating, and he'd turn it up and, you know, get back, JoJo. We all yell that in the chorus. It's like, be on the boat, the sea. That song kind of tied everything together to me.
Oh, cool, man.
That is a original way of thinking for a topic, because the song's nothing to do with the sea, but he was, you know, he was out on the water.
He has a story behind it.
It's awesome, dude. That's perfect. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Thank you.
I like it.
Very cool, man.
Now, someone told me, and I want to say that I actually watched this in an interview, that song was about Yoko Ono.
Huh.
Oh, written by Paul about Yoko? Like,
yes.
Get Back?
Get Back. Yeah. It was an angry song, you know, against Yoko Ono. Get back.
Get back to where you once belonged? That sounds racist.
I am dead serious, and I will try to find it and send it to you.
Are you telling me right now on the air that Paul McCartney is a racist?
Not a racist.
This is not, I mean, especially at this time. Yeah.
Not racist. He just wanted her gone and out of, dude.
Yeah.
She ruined it for the Beatles, period. Single-handedly, dude. She got in there and filled John's head, and that was it.
I don't know, man.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna agree with Andy on that.
All right, I'm going to defend Yoko here. Yeah, I think that they just were growing apart as a band, just as individuals. I don't think that...
But she pushed.
To do what?
She pushed John over the
solo.
Like, you think that she was like in his ear?
You
like,
don't need them.
Really?
You are better. You're John. John, you write good songs.
Wow. Yeah. I don't think so.
Do your research, man. That has been like an ongoing theme. People have been saying that for years.
Oh, I know that. I know that. But I don't agree with it. I think that they. Just kind of, I mean, Jesus Christ, they went through so much in a short period of time.
All the more reason to stick it out.
I think they wanted to.
Paul, who would not want to be in a band with Paul mother effing McCartney?
Oh, is he your favorite?
Dude, he's the nicest guy in the world.
I don't know.
He's my favorite Beatle as well.
Absolutely, dude.
I don't know if he's writing racist songs and shit like that. I don't think he's that nice, you know?
I'm pretty sure he was just meaning for her to get back in her place, not send her back to...
All right.
Yeah, wasn't a go back to Africa thing or
we'll
go back to China or
Japan.
Yeah.
But the question is kept. Yeah. Kevin, do you have the Yoko Ono sunglasses, though? Do you have a pair of those?
I can't wait to...
I love that video.
Which one?
I don't know. It's called the one that she had a video for.
Yeah, I know which one he's talking about.
Kiss,
yeah.
kiss me now. That's like her biggest hit. I think it's that one. But I know what glasses you're talking about. They're like the blue blockers that you see like old people wearing.
And they're really big.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd love to. I'd love to have those, man, because my sun visor doesn't work in my car right now. It's kind of broken, so I would love a pair of those. Oh, man. Cool, dude. So you're a Beatles guy, definitely not Stones. Like, you just, is there a Stones song that you would ever listen to?
I mean, probably. I haven't dove into their catalog, but just what has been... I've been forced to listen to. It's just
forced.
I mean, being in a place where it's on and I can't run away from it, you know. So uh-huh. Like forced to.
Yeah.
Shattered.
I mean, it's just they're just ripping off black people. You know, it's just I don't know.
Sure, because the Beatles never did that.
They are paying homage to black people.
Right.
Of all bands,
I don't know.
Rolling Stones. White is bright, but that band has got the blues infused in their blood.
Mm-hmm.
It feels fake to me, man.
Just, okay.
You got that guy running around on stage, you know, like blowing kisses to people. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, he's.
That's who he is.
Yeah, but he's imitating, you know. If you're saying that he's imitating black artists, that's what they
I'm not talking about the performance. I'm talking about the music itself. Like,
mm-hmm.
They went down to Muscle Shoals to record because they wanted to, you know, it's just like they, I don't know.
Yeah, but
like
Muscle Shoals was kind of a white studio. That was kind of like...
I mean, the studio was, but, you know.
Yeah, the music that came out of it. Yeah, you've got Aretha Franklin and, yeah, you're right. It was just...
When you watch Charlie Watts play drums, he doesn't hit the hi-hat when he hits the snare. It's so weird. He pulls it off.
That's what I
like.
That's what I like about it.
Charlie Watts, is the one person in that band that is slept on.
Mm-hmm. He's awesome.
Right.
He's a good drummer, but I just don't like how he pulls off on the hi-hat when he hits the snare. There, well, you can't go to the same time.
I like
Dude,
it.
Mark is breaking it down, man.
I like it. Well, the story is that he's bored with what he's playing in the
right.
in the Rolling Stones.
Because he's released
a jazz,
some jazz albums, yeah. And wow, he really gets down. Mm-hmm. He's a slept-on drummer. That's all I got to say,
mm-hmm.
dude.
Mm-hmm. Nobody can play like
that. You know, they're not doing anything much, any groundbreaking or good. So it's just like he's,
but,
you know, I'm sure.
Okay, blues is music is not groundbreaking.
Yeah.
It's the most basic of riffs, but it's just the way that you play it and the way that you express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got the blues. And if you don't have the blues will come to you one day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess the thing about blues that never really tickled my ivories was the just the way that it's so structured. You know, it's so structured, and I don't like that.
You snob.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's so the opposite of that is jazz, where there's no structure.
So,
right?
So.
I don't know about
no,
that.
No, no. See, and that's the thing, because jazz is way more improv. But the difference is jazz is generally, first of all, unless it's vocal, it's much more improv.
Yeah.
And it's generally more upbeat. The difference is jazz swings, whereas blues doesn't. You know?
Okay.
And so when you listen to a blues song, you know, you might be hearing a drum beat, but it doesn't swing. It kind of gallops in a slow way, like... My dog neighbors died today, you know, and it's the blues, man. It's
dog
it's,
neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, jazz has that jazz swings. Even a ballad has got some swing to it,
mm-hmm.
a slow jazz song.
And that's where the blues and jazz had a baby and they called it rock and roll. Right.
That much I'm not really sure of, Kevin.
I think so. Where else does... Because, I mean, you got the blues, and then you add a little swing to it. That's the roll. That's where you get... Yeah, that's where you get the feeling
well,
from.
And I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying I don't know specifically, but I would definitely say that rock came from blues. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they added elements of jazz into it, but it definitely came from the blues.
Mm.
Maybe it was like the you know having the birth of electrified instruments, you know, having amps and stuff made it, you know, there was like playing blues riffs was like, wow, it sounds so different through this, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mark, what about like Lightning Hopkins?
Who?
He's not familiar.
Wow. Lightning Hopkins.
No, I didn't hear the name. But...
Lightning Hopkins?
Yeah, okay, not familiar.
Ooh. All right, Kevin, we got school. All right.
He doesn't like the blues.
All right, well, we're going to do blue September, boy. Blues.
Okay.
Get it in your soul.
No, I'm in. I'm willing to learn.
Cool.
All right, that's all we need.
All right. So, yeah.
Love
we're
you,
gonna,
brother.
Yeah, man.
Love you too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been great talking to you, Mark.
Absolute privilege, man.
Yeah, I think we're going to.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I wanted to have you on. I originally wanted to have you and Wes on because you guys are both Portlanders. The sea reminded me of Portland
mm-hmm.
because you guys have ports.
And land.
Yeah, and land.
And land.
I had Sharks and Sailors on my playlist, but I didn't play because I thought you would have it on there. June
44. Yeah.
But you went a different direction, and I can respect
that.
I did. Very cool. Yeah, man. Do you have anything you want to plug? Do you have any projects or anything that you'd like to put out there?
Oh, shit. Not really. Playing with a new group now, so that's been fun.
And who's that?
In a while. Well, the name's kind of limbo, but with Wes and these two other guys.
Can you say that name again?
Currently, it's Quando, 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 which I believe is an old 50s song.
Yes.
That got covered by a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
So that's the name currently.
Well, is that what you said before? It sounded like you said something else, something Lindo.
I think I added an R in there. Quando.
We should have had you on our accents podcast. okay, so Quando. I know that you are a producer. You are an engineer.
Very good one.
You were in a band called Pad Eyes, PADEYES. Is that still a thing?
No, the singer guitar player moved to New York right before the pandemic, early last January, I think. Mm-hmm. Knowing that he was leaving, it was kind of a quick thing for him, but we tried to capture our last songs that we wrote, but they weren't quite done, so we basically got basic tracks, Fish While He Was Here, and then he started doing some vocals remotely. I would send him a mix and he'll mm-hmm. record it at home and send it back. But then he just had a baby, so he's kind of busy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someday those last songs will come out. But we'll see.
Yeah, I hear you. Don't you hate it when people don't finish their vocals?
Oh, man, I can't stand it.
So
that's an inside joke.
Tell people where they can find your projects. You're on Bandcamp, right?
Yeah. Got you mean the band that I'm in, I think.
This one so, time at Bandcamp?
Yeah.
I recorded that Quando band. They did a 4-song EP, and then that's how I ended up becoming part of the band. But I think they just put up the songs on Bandcamp there, so you can hear them there.
So Quando, Pad Eyes, mm-hmm. they're on Bandcamp. Philo Beto. Len Bias.
Oh, yep. Wow. Yeah, look that up.
And Navies, are they on Bandcamp?
I think they are up there now, yeah.
Right on. Anybody else you want to shout out?
Let's see.
I know.
No,
I'm putting...
probably about it.
All right, cool. Check them out, people. Mark Raymond.
Yes.
Thanks for doing it, man.
Thanks for having me.
And it sounds like you're going to be back in September. Maybe we'll have you back on then.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Bye.
All right. See ya.
Well, were you going to say something? Oh, he's gone.
We forgot to do it.
I'm going to edit it.